Would you turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, the 31st chapter? The title of this message is Restoration and Responsibility. And the Lord brought these first few verses. We're going to start in the Old Testament first, then go to the New. But the Lord brought this forcefully before me yesterday in the prayer meeting. And it was just on my heart all day. And I want to pass it on to you as an encouragement this morning. In the 30 and 31st chapters, Jeremiah speaks about restoration. And he says if you go to the 31st chapter, the 16th verse, "Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping, and thine eyes from tears. For thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord. And they shall come again from the land of the enemy. And there is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border." This verse just pressed me yesterday. Every one of us, I suspect, has prayers for a loved one. Maybe even prayers for ourselves that we've drifted a little from the Lord. And the Holy Spirit, I feel, is saying to us in no uncertain terms, those prayers will be rewarded. I will answer in my time. Don't weep. Don't cry. Don't be sorrowful, but rejoice in the victory that's coming. And that is so hard to do because we're so enmeshed and embroiled in the prayers and the situation today, in the circumstances that we see today, and the enemy would point out the impossibility of what he's saying. But God says, refrain thy lips from weeping and thine eyes from crying, praise God. I'm going to restore. I'm going to bring them back. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Don't give up, church. Don't be discouraged. Don't let the enemy rob you of the praise and the joy in the Lord right now. We're so busy worrying about the future. What's the future going to be in light of the circumstances around us? What's going on in the world today? What's the future going to be like? And we worry and we are troubled and discouraged and overwhelmed. And the impossibility is magnified. And God says, oh no. They shall come again from the land of the enemy. Thy work shall be rewarded. Every prayer, every tear you shed, every burden, every grieving in your heart is going to be rewarded, praise God. Sometimes our tears are prayers. Sometimes the grieving of our heart are prayers before the Lord, praise God. And I'm speaking to you that are searching and praying and trusting for God to restore your families. God, to restore your loved ones. I'm speaking to you this morning. The Lord is saying, I'm speaking to you. Don't let the enemy rob you. Praise God. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. An encouragement to us. I love this last verse of the chapter. It's one of my favorites. I probably have 1,000 favorite verses. But this one, just seems to, in the struggles of life, speak to my heart. I hope it speaks to yours. 58th verse, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable." That unmovable means firmly persistent, settled, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much that you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Every prayer, praise God, prayer, God heard. Every prayer, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is no time to lay our harps on the willows. This is no time to sit idly by. This is no time to be discouraged. No time to give up, my brother and sister. Oh, hallelujah. I feel the Holy Spirit just encouraging us, saying, oh, come on, church. I'm going to do a great work. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to his name. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Keep testifying. Keep praying. Keep doing. Let the Holy Spirit move in you. Let the Holy Spirit encourage you. Let the Holy Spirit use you to encourage others. It's easy to encourage everyone when everything's going just great. Well, yeah, everything's going great for you, brother, but no, but when you're in the trouble, when you're in the trial, when you're praying, when you're discouraged at times, when you're fighting the good fight of faith, that's the time to say, oh, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to praise you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And it is a fight, my brothers and sisters. It is a fight. The enemy is trying every which way. The enemy is working in ways that we can't even imagine. And we see the effects in the society around us. We see the effects that it's having. And we see the effects it's having on the church. Oh, Lord, we need to be steadfast and unmovable. What are we standing on? We're standing on the Word, praise God. We're standing on what the Word says. What does the Word say, my brother and sister? Steadfast, unmovable. You used to come 3 times a week and you stopped coming. You used to be in the prayer meetings and you stopped coming. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, praise God, because your labor, you know, this is, we got to put on a long-term vision. Today, humanity, it's all short-sighted, short-term. Want the rewards right away. Want the victory right now. We want everything to happen immediately. We don't want to wait for anything. That's humanity. And God says you got to be patient and you got to continue to walk the walk and talk the talk and fight the good fight of faith and battle the enemy and stay strong and hold on to the unchanging hand of God. And I'll reward you. Hallelujah. I'll reward you. Praise God. You got to keep that heavenly vision. Oh, praise the Lord. Would you go with me to Hebrews, the 10th chapter? The responsibility. Talked about restoration, but I want to talk about responsibility. In this 10th chapter, he talks about the priesthood of Christ and the offering of the sacrifice, but he says in the 19th verse, Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us, these are the verses, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Those passages are a mouthful. Having boldness to enter in to the holiest by the blood of Jesus. You see, and I've said this before, but on the Day of Atonement, the priest could only go into the Holy of Holies once a year. And he had to be ceremonially purified and cleansed. And he had to go in with an offering, the blood of a slain lamb, a pure lamb that they picked out of the herd. And he spread that blood on the mercy seat where the presence of God was. And he opened the curtain to go in, and when he went out, he closed the curtain again. The curtain remained closed. You and I could not enter in. But Jesus, our great high priest that's passed into the heavens, opened the curtain, praise God, and left it open, that we can look into the Holy of Holies. Glory to God. And his sacrifice was his own blood. Once for all, the cleansing of all sin. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. He opened the way into the Holy of Holies. Brothers and sisters, oh, what a privilege. What a privilege. Once, before we knew the Lord, before the salvation of our souls, we stood without, like the congregation in the old covenant. We were outside the tent. But oh, through Christ, through the blood of Jesus, we have access into the Holy of Holies. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
To behold him. To behold his presence. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Let us draw near. We have a responsibility to ourselves. Let us draw near. Every man must bear his own burden. I can't save you. I can't save my children. I can't save my wife. They can't save me. Individually, we all got to go through the door. Jesus Christ. We all got to come to that situation. I can't save them, but I can sure pray. I can sure petition heaven. I can sure practice and give the sacrifice of praise and hold them up before the throne of God and say, oh Lord, would you have mercy? Would you have mercy? Praise God. But praise God, we have to not neglect our own spiritual life, draw near with a true heart. Are we drawing near to God this morning? Are we trying to draw near to him? involved in so many things that distract and so many things that just boggle our mind. Lord, help us to draw near to you. Praise God. In full assurance of faith. Oh, praise the Lord. In that drawing near, it's prayer, it's in purity, and it's in profession. Do we pray as we should? God is calling us to prayer. I sense that more these days than ever before. And I look back on my life and I said, you know, there's one thing I wish I would have done more. I wish I would have prayed more. And I come to that realization, Lord, in that prayer, we draw near to God. In that prayer, it is bringing ourselves to the altar and dying on that altar. The brother talked about the altar, and we're dying. We crucify ourselves on that altar. We yield ourselves on that altar. Oh, Father, would you have your way with me? Draw near to God with a true heart. I'm not going to the Lord to ask him for favors. I'm not bargaining with the Lord to say, Lord, if you'll do this, I'll do that. Lord, I just want to worship you. I want to just praise you. I just want to give you all that you deserve from me. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. It's those that are drawing near a personal purity, our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. The blood of Jesus washes us clean. Every time we pray, we should ask the Lord to cover us with his precious blood. And not just as a general, Lord, just covenant, but Lord, confess those things that the Spirit of God has revealed to you in your heart that you know have displeased the Lord. And the things, Lord, that even that I may not know I've displeased you, Lord, forgive me for those things. Maybe my lack of drawing closer, my lack of prayer, my lack of faith. But Lord, forgive me for those things. Our bodies washed with pure water. He's talking, it's emblematic of the Word of God. We're into the Word of God. The Word of God is a washing agent. The Word of God is a cleansing agent, not only the blood, but the Word also cleanses us. The Word points out our frailties. He says the Word like a two-edged sword, cutting asunder the bone and the marrow. The Word goes right to the heart of the matter, does it not? Have we not been convicted by the Word of God? Well, how did the pastor know that? He doesn't know. It's the Holy Spirit that knows, praise God. And the Holy Spirit speaks, praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Continue ready to make a confession of our faith. Not just saying, only I am a Christian, I'm following Christ, but there is an evidence in our lives, praise God, evidence in our lives. Not just the words. We could have what would Jesus do, say, or do, and all those little things all over the place, but it's the evidence of our walk with the Lord. How we are in here, we ought to be out there. How we are in this place, and I say for Brother Ron first, how we are in here, we should be out there. Amen. Especially with the world, the unbeliever looking on at us and saying, You know, I hear what you say, but I'm matching up the words and the walk. And does it match? Oh, praise the Lord. And we have a duty to one another. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. My, my, my. What does that mean? A duty to one another. Your burdens are my burdens. Your prayer requests are my prayer requests. Your heartaches are my heartaches. I want to provoke you. You know, provoke is kind of a negative term. It's always in a negative sense, a connotation to it. You know, like my kids provoke me. Or my neighbor provokes me. No, this is to stimulate, to encourage, provoke one another to love and to good works. The words that we speak, the actions that we do, praise God. It brings edification, a building up of the body of Christ. If we haven't saluted someone for a long time, go out of your way. Make a point to say hello or God bless you, brother or sister. I try to make a point to see everyone after the service. Now, some leave early. They have to go, whatever the case. But I want to make that, I want to tell you, brother, I love you. I'm praying for you. Just in that salutation. You see, God made us. We become part of the body of Christ. Not disjointed, an arm here, a leg over there, and a foot over here. We're part of the body. Amen. We function together. That's how we're made. In Christ Jesus, that's how we're made. When God worked in you, God already saw where he was going to place you in the body of Christ. He already knew your position. And he's encouraging you to fulfill that calling and that commission in the body of Christ. You have a responsibility. In Ephesians, let me just go to that briefly. I love this scripture. It says, but speaking the truth, this is that we be henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. This verse, 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What does that mean? It means we have a responsibility one to another to be functioning in the body of Christ. If your kidneys stop working, you're going to get sick. And eventually, you're going to die. Brother, that's kind of dramatic. Well, it's the word of God. It's functioning together. God used the analogy of the body. Edifying one another in love. You need to praise the Lord and testify. Because your testimony will bring encouragement to someone else. Not only it will encourage you and strengthen you in the faith, but it's part of assuming the role and responsibility in the body of Christ. Well, I'm just a nobody. I just sit in the pew and no, that's not right. God gave everyone gifts. Every one of us has a gift to use for the body of Christ. To edify the body, to build it up. to encourage it. Praise God. If I could take a moment, just bear with me. We think of the gifts only in Corinthians. It says, for to one is given by the Spirit, Holy Spirit, the word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. He also writes, and God has set in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after the miracles, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. In Romans, Paul writes, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that sheweth mercy with cheerfulness. Giving is a gift. As some of these are not defined, but I think we get the essence of what they are. In 1 Peter, he writes, and every man that hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Oh Lord, help us. The gifts are not just the nine gifts that we read in Corinthians. Those are the more famous ones, if I could use that word, that he explains. But there are other gifts, helps, diversities, governments, that the Lord places in the church for the edification of the body of Christ. If we didn't have people that would come out and take care of the house of God, the board, the cleaning groups, etc., it's all part of the edification of the body. You see, in the Corinthian church, if I could digress just a moment, they were always seeking the gifts that brought more attention to themselves. The speaking gifts, the ones that lifted them up. And Paul corrected them in that letter to the Corinthians. But in the church, he places the gifts. Well, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a deacon, I'm not this or that. No, it's not that. It's you have the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So maybe you have an exhortation, maybe you have an encouragement to a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe the Lord's put something on your heart to send a note or a text or speak to someone. Say, brother, I just feel like the Lord's telling me to encourage you. You see how that edifies and builds up the body of Christ. And how it helps us praise God. Oh, Lord, let me read on. And I'm going to close in Hebrew. He says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This is not a time to not be in the services. And God is telling us, God is telling us this is important. You're a body. You have to function together. You need to be together. Brother Steve had a unity message some weeks ago, and it's all part of it. It's to be in unity. It's to be together, praise God, for the Holy Spirit to move, for the Holy Spirit to have His way. We need to hear other brothers and sisters who have the same thoughts and same desires. We need to have the Spirit of God move and touch each and every one of us. And the very next verse he says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, what does that mean? If we know we should be in the assembly, if we know we should be in the prayer meetings. Now, you know, I know there are physical limitations. Let's put that out there. People live far, can't drive at night, whatever the case may be. God understands that. That's not the thought. If you have the ability to be in the assembly, whatever that assembly may be, the Word of God instructs us to be there. Amen? What for? God wants to punish us, take more of our time? No, God says, I want to build you up. I want to encourage you. I want you to get closer. I want you to feel my presence. Do you realize what's going on around you as you see the day approaching? Do you see the day approaching? Well, you can't skip through the tulips, la, 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 everything's fine. No, it's not fine. It's not fine. Jesus is coming back. Amen. Everything that's happening today is evidence that he's coming back soon. Do you have loved ones out there? Loved ones that haven't committed? Loved ones that you can very concerned and care about? Oh God, help us. We have a responsibility. Well, I'm okay. My immediate family's okay. I guess I'm all right. No, that's not the attitude. The love of God constrains us, the Word says. It constrains us. Does it hurt you when a family member's not here? Does it concern you? Does it cause you pain? It does me. And I got a big family, this whole congregation. It concerns me. We have one goal, one agenda item. Make heaven our home. Amen. That's it. When you get right down, it's not to make $1 million. It's not to have a big house. It's not to have cars. It's not to have fame or wealth or fortune. It's not any of those things. Thank God for the provisions he gives, but that's not it. When we close our eyes, we want to open them on the other side, looking at Jesus. Amen. That's it. And I say, Lord, help us. Help us to consider one another, to provoke unto love and to good works. Just a word of encouragement can help someone. Just to say, brother, sister, I'm praying for your family, to help someone. To lift them up in prayer, even if you don't talk to them, just to lift them up in prayer. The Lord takes account of every prayer, every request. How do we treat the body of Christ? How do we treat the body of Christ? Edifying itself in love, what you're doing, ask yourself, am I edifying the body of Christ? Am I? I come and go as I please. I do my thing. That's not the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us. The stragglers that have fallen alongside the way. Jesus left the 99 and went after the one sheep. Lord, give us that attitude. Give us that desire, praise God. In so doing, the Lord will bless. He'll reward us. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. Praise God. I'm going to close right here. My brothers and sisters, be encouraged. The Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. He's going to bring them back. He's going to restore. He promised. His word is true. We got to do our part in the meantime. We got to keep pressing for the kingdom. We got to keep following. We got to keep praying. We got to keep trusting. We got to keep doing, being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because your labor and my labor is not in vain in the Lord. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May his name be praised.